You're listening to First Baptist Church of Aberdeen at Home. We would like to extend a special thank you to the Pulling family and the Delzer family for helping to make this morning's broadcast possible. On today's broadcast, join us as we look at our times in light of God's Word.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, in darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, he trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Beginning and the end, the Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and Lamb, the Lion and Lamb. How great
and welcome. We'd like to thank you for joining us for this time of worship. And as you've probably already noticed, I am not Pastor Gary. This is Pastor Josh, and I have the pleasure of sharing with you this morning. Many of you will be joining our broadcast from your homes or in your cars. It's been a pleasure to see the family church gather in our parking lot to listen to these radio programs. I find it encouraging that the family of God can't seem to be apart for very long before there is a deep felt need for community, fellowship, and relational intimacy. You know, generally when hard times strike, Christ Church draws together and extends its loving arms around one another. But because of the times in which we live, church has been forced to rethink, retool, and reinterpret how ministry is done. How do we love others at a distance? How do we mentor and disciple when we can't gather? But most importantly, how do we make the most of these times and use them for the glory of God? In today's message, we're going to look at how God's people responded to difficult times. Father, we as a church body come to you, regardless of whether we're in the parking lot of the church or at home or driving in our car. Jesus, in this moment, because we are praying together, you are among us. We pray that you will open your word to us and that you will impart supernatural truth, transforming power, and life-changing results to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Come your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive's hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church, and we pray revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us, fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church, and we are the hope on earth.
The title of my message this morning is For Such a Time as This. And if you have a Bible with you or access to one on your smartphone, I encourage you to pull it out. And of course, if you're driving, please keep your hands on the wheel, but open to the book of Esther. You see, Esther is a young Jewish woman who knows God very well. She's been raised in a godly home and has the laws of God in her heart. So when Esther finds herself in a difficult position, she relies on her deep relationship with God and acts out in faith. Don't miss that point that Esther's actions are the result of her deep relationship with God, and she acts out with bravery and courage. Let's turn our attention to the text of Esther 4:14. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? In this passage, Esther's relative, Mordecai, is telling Esther how certain he is that God will save the people. The question that he poses to Esther is this: is Esther going to sit back and let God's salvation come from another place, or will she look at her current situation and see it as an opportunity to glorify God rather than as a problem to be solved or avoided? He encourages her to act and rely on what the Lord will tell her to do. He tells her that the reason she was born and the reason she has been placed in her current situation is for the glory of God. You see, anytime God compels us to act, it is for our good and His glory. We as the church are faced with the same question. As we look at our times and our current struggles, are we going to sit back and let God's salvation, love, comfort, and revival come about from another place? Or are we going to make the most of every opportunity and decide to participate in God's work in the world? I pose the same question to us that Mordecai posed to Esther. Who knows whether we have not come to the year 2020 and are faced with this global pandemic for such a time as this? What if God is inviting us to be a part of His plan for a global revival? Let's move on to our next example in the book of Nehemiah. And what we're going to see here is something very similar. Nehemiah is also a Jew and has been given a place of prominence in the same Persian family dynasty. Just like Esther, Nehemiah gets some bad news about the people. Just like Esther, Nehemiah surmises that he has been placed in his position for the purpose of bringing glory to God and to help bring about a revival. When Nehemiah needs God's direction about what to do and how to proceed, his first response is to go to God in prayer. And when I hear his prayer, I notice three things that we, living in our times, need to emulate. Number one, Nehemiah has a heartfelt prayer that begins by bringing glory to God and centers his mind on the greatness, might, and holiness of the one he is addressing. He says, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant and loving devotion for those who love Him and keep His commandments. Number two, Nehemiah's prayer is one that seeks the face of God, confessing the sins of not only the people as a whole, but also turns away from his own personal sin. He says, I confess the sins that we Israelites have committed against you. Both I and my father's house have sinned. And third, Nehemiah reminds himself that God promised if they will repent and return to God, He will restore them. Nehemiah is quoting God, and he says, "But if you return to me and keep and practice my commandments, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name." I think if there's a way to summarize Nehemiah's prayer, it would be in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and that's the, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Just like Esther, Nehemiah doesn't want to simply sit on the sidelines as God is sparking a revival. He sees his current situation as an opportunity to give God glory rather than as a problem to be solved or avoided. What Nehemiah does next is much like what we saw with Esther. And while we don't actually read how God spoke to Esther, we would be foolish to think that she did not pray and that God did not speak to her. Esther heard the bad news, and then she acted on what she felt God was telling her. Nehemiah acts similarly. Just look at how he responds to the king. He says, "So I prayed to the God of heaven and answered the king." Nehemiah could not have had such a quick response to the king in chapter 2 if he had not spent all of chapter 1 in prayer. What I want us to take from this is that we as Christians have been placed in our times for such a time as this. I believe that God is going to bring about a great revival as a result of this pandemic, and I stand with Mordecai when I say that relief and deliverance, revival, will arise. Will it either be because it arose from obedient Christians or from another place? We have to ask ourselves, is God calling me to be a vessel to help bring about such a revival? Am I going to be like Esther and Nehemiah and let God's deliverance happen through me? Or am I going to let it arise from another place? You see, when God calls us, he promises us that he will equip us and empower us for the task. We have only to seek him in prayer, repent of our ways, listen to him, and then act out in the ways that he will lead us. I want to look at one more example, and this is the story of the prophet Ezekiel, who finds himself in yet another difficult time. Have you noticed that? Every time things get tough, God raises up a person to be the instrument by which he works a revival. Turn with me, if you would, to Ezekiel 37. For the sake of time, we'll only highlight some of the significant verses and phrases. To begin with, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by his Spirit." Do you see a theme here? When God's people pray, the hand of the Lord is upon us, and we will be led by his Spirit. It continues on, "And set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me all around among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. And indeed, they were very dry." God says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Ezekiel says, "Oh Lord God, you know." Meaning that if revival is going to take place, God is the one who will have to do it. Then God invites Ezekiel to participate. He says, "Prophesy." In other words, "Speak my words of life over these bones and say to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Fast forwarding just a little, and this is God talking, and he says, "And you," that is the dry bones, "shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Dropping down, "But there was no breath in them," the bones. "And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God." In the last part, so it says, "And I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived." What Ezekiel is seeing here is a vision of a people who are not just dying, but are dead. They are dead from sin, moral decay, spiritual apathy, and letting their hearts grow cold toward God. It is a picture of a world that has been given over to a depraved mind. God's hand of protection is lifted, and the people are susceptible to all kinds of hardship. The bones of that society are and that culture are indeed very dry. But God invites a person to be the means by which revival happens. Ezekiel chooses to trust God's command and sees a revival take place. Do you think our culture is very dry? Do you think we are morally dead? Do you think we have spiritual apathy? Do you think we have become dry and lifeless? Take a look at how the Apostle Paul describes a dry society in Romans 1. He says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but became futile in their thinking and darkened in their foolish hearts. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Dropping down to verse 28, it says, "Furthermore, they did not see fit to acknowledge God. He gave them up to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done." And in verse 31, it says, "They invented new ways and forms of evil." In the last part, in verse 32, it says, "They not only continue to do these things, but they also approve of those who do them." Do you hear that? It says that he, God, gave them over to a depraved mind. It is as if the hand of God is lifted from a people who constantly reject him. What this tells me is that we have a far greater disease that has gripped humanity than the coronavirus. We are a valley of dry bones in need of revival. You might be asking yourself, what does this have to do with me? Everything. Let's draw our attention to Romans 8:28, which says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose." You see, if we love God, then we have been called according to his purpose. We are invited to act out in faith and be used by him to bring about revival. This means that just like Esther, Nehemiah, and Ezekiel, we have a calling and God has appointed us and our days for his glory. The days and times in which we live are opportunities to glorify God, not problems to be solved or avoided. Esther acted out in faith and it saved her people. Nehemiah acted out in faith and received support for the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Ezekiel did what he was commanded and saw a vision of dry bones coming back to life. You and I are invited by God to act out and speak words of life to the dry bones of our land. But before we do, we need to pray like Nehemiah prayed. We need to glorify God as God. We need to repent of personal sin and confess the sins of our people. Then we need to ask God to heal our land, not just from the coronavirus, but from the sin that has turned our hearts into cold, dry bones. After this, we need to listen for what God will ask us to do. He will lead us by his Holy Spirit and compel us to act, and we may not want to act. More than likely, the ways in which God will want us to act will seem scary, and there will be a risk, but we have to be brave like Esther. So what will you do? I invite you to pray like Nehemiah prayed. I invite you to have the courage Esther had. I invite you to prophesy, that is to speak God's word of life to others, to the dry bones, and see God do mighty things like Ezekiel saw. You know, I don't know what God will tell you to do or what that will look like. Only you and God will know that. But what I do know is this, is that God is on the move and rallying his church for a great revival. We are born for such a time as this. And as for me, I don't want to be on the sidelines while God is working. You might feel like dry bones today, but the good news is this, your dry bones can come to life. Jesus is the breath that can put the life back into your cold, dry bones of your soul. I want to leave you with these words from Ezekiel 36, and God says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." You see, Jesus calls this transformation being born again. And maybe you're listening to this morning and you know you need to have your dry bones revived. Maybe you need to ask God how he wants to use you for his glory in such a time as this. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we pray and praise you for who you are. Come into my life. Put life into my dry bones. Jesus, I turn from my sin and I trust you. I know that you are working for my good. And if I love you, you have a plan for me. Show me, Lord, what it is and empower me to act out on what your spirit will tell me to do. I want to be a part of what you're doing in these times, knowing that I have been born for such a time as this. I ask and believe these things in my heart. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Let them flow in ceaseless. Thank you, Pastor Josh. If you prayed that prayer this morning, we want to welcome you to the family of God. For more information about our church, to find out how to grow in your faith, or to let us know about any prayer requests you might have, you can contact us at 605-225-9581. You can also find us on the web at fbcaberdeen.com. If you miss any portion of this morning's message, you can hear it again in its entirety on our Facebook page and on our YouTube channel, FBC Aberdeen at Home. We at home, I don't know what that last means. So that's good.